This is Bulldog Live on the Pulse. To get in touch about the news of the day, call 866-823-1077. Now, here's Brian Tilton and Bulldog Live.
The Weeks Act 100 years ago kind of restored the balance and put the emphasis, save the White Mountains, set up the forest system. And it seems to me we're focusing today a lot on the local issues and our own local concerns, but this is a national resource. These are the Alps of New England.
The signs say land of many uses. It was never intended for the White Mountain National Forest to ever be used as a conduit for electricity. We wouldn't have protected it for that in the first place if that was the reason.
All right, some sounds from this summer when we were talking about saving the White Mountain National Forest from Northern Pass, as well as the rest of the state for that matter. And, you know, here we had, as we were talking about on Monday here on Bulldog Live, we were talking about how Northeast Utilities set their own deadline of having a new route to announce by the end of the year. Well, the end of the year came and went, and they posted an announcement on their project journal on their website at northernpass.us, but there was nothing there about having a new route in hand. Although they did say they've identified a route, but they didn't say that they had any of the land necessary for it and that they would be going to the New Hampshire Site Evaluation Committee with these details. Well, here's the problem. Before they can get to the New Hampshire Site Evaluation Committee, don't they have to go through the U.S. Department of Energy? And as far as I know, nothing has been filed with them. So what do they have? Really, nothing. That's what it comes down to. But joining us now here on Bulldog Live is Jack Savage from the Society for Protection of New Hampshire Forests to talk about their efforts in this and their reaction to the lack of a route announcement on Monday. And Jack, Happy New Year.
Good morning. I'm tired this morning, Brian. I've been hanging off that fiscal cliff all night. Didn't get a full night's sleep. My arms are tired.
I see you did. What did you parachute down or what did you do?
Well, I
or
crawled,
did a member of Congress rescue
back
you?
Up. Yeah, I crawled back up.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah, I'm glad to see our members of Congress rescue.
Yeah, wallet's empty, but I clawed back up.
Yeah, well, there'll be some more bumps in that road. So, your reaction?
Well, you know, this wasn't anticipated by us. As many people know, we've been working to block their intended route through Coos County, and that's all part of our strategy to protect 180 miles of New Hampshire by stopping them from getting a through route up north. We've been talking to landowners. We closed a 530-acre conservation easement a few weeks ago up there. That helps block their intended route. And if you want to see the route that they've identified, you can go to our website, or I'm sure to your website, Brian, and take a look at the map at where they want to go. The problem that they have now is that they can't go through there because we're endeavoring to stop them. And I think we're in a better position today than we have been at any point in the last 2 years since they made this whole project very public to compel them to look at the other viable alternatives for allowing the Canadians to export energy to New England.
Sure. And looking at those alternatives, which have been discussed, that was what the Senate Bill 361 Commission was attempting to do. Those recommendations go before this legislature now, and we'll see with the number of legislative proposals that are out there. We'll see how each one of them gets heard and debated and voted on. But looking at the landowners that you've been talking to and the one parcel of land that you've been able to close on with that Trees Not Towers campaign, which, by the way, the fundraising continues.
That's correct.
And how's that going so far?
Well, I'm pleased to announce that we're halfway at this point. So it's a $2.5 million campaign to protect a variety of properties up north that interrupt their intended route. And we've hit the halfway point. So we're at $1.25 million. And it was amazing that over the last few days of the year to see the web gifts come in as people made end-of-the-year gifts. And now we're going to go on to those donors who were sort of waiting until 2013 in a new tax year in order to make some significant gifts.
Yeah, absolutely. And so you look at that, and you do have those other pieces of land that you've identified. Those landowners have been working with you on doing whatever was necessary to help protect their land.
Right. It's a bit of a chess game. And so we call this a blocking action. We know where they intend to go. We know where some of their alternatives are, and we're working with landowners in order to box them in step by step. And we're being successful. And I think that's what you saw through their announcement earlier this week, was that our efforts, among the efforts of everybody up and down the line, all those thousands of people who object to this project as proposed, what we're seeing is that 2 years after they announced this, more than 2 years, they still have no identified route. They have their presidential permit application on hold. They've not applied to the SEC. They originally said they were going to begin building this thing in 2013, and they're a long way from that. And the sad part is that if you think that there may be room in the New England market for this imported energy from Canada, there is a way to do it. And that's to begin working with the state to look at those transportation corridors and looking at burial. There are other transmission developers in Maine and Vermont and New York who have proposals out there that are viable from a financial standpoint. And so I think what you're going to see is other developers stepping forward and talking and working with Hydro-Québec to propose something that they know they can get through, working with a state that's ready to do that, and potentially leaving Northern Pass and Northeast Utilities behind.
Right, exactly. If Hydro-Québec is really the ones who want to get this through.
I think it is. I mean, I think if you look at their business plan, they have every intention of subsidizing Canadian ratepayers by exporting some of their energy to New England. And if we think, if there are business interests who think it might be viable and useful to have some of that energy available down south, southern New England, then we ought to find a responsible way to do that and not desecrate 180 miles of New Hampshire's landscape. You know, part of what's missing here, Brian, is that our natural landscape is a resource in and of itself, and it has value. It has value in terms of our tourism industry, has value in terms of our property values, has value in terms of our identity as a state. And when Northern Pass officials suggest that it's too expensive to bury a line, what they're really doing is saying New Hampshire is not worth paying to bury it. New Hampshire's mountains are not worth it. New Hampshire's scenic beauty is not worth it. New Hampshire's tourism industry is not worth it. And I think we at the Forest Society reject that notion. It is worth it. In fact, we've spent more than a century protecting that very natural resource, and we intend to continue to protect it as best we can.
Well, and looking at one of those resources, White Mountain National Forest, as was mentioned in our intro here to the second hour of Bulldog Live. By the way, Jack Savage joining us from the Forest Society, 1-866-823-1077. Northern Pass, in trying to make people believe that they have a new route, which they certainly do not, but even if you took them at their word, there's still that White Mountain National Forest that in their own entry on their website on Monday, they insist on going through there. They have their preconceived plans for what's going to happen in the White Mountain National Forest, but they don't have the permission to do it because they don't own any of the land, and they don't even have a right of way through the White Mountain National Forest.
Well, I believe there is an existing PS&H distribution line right of way through part of the national forest, and they want to make use of that. They want to essentially lease it to a third party for a transmission line, which is much higher. And that's what the reason they would need a special use permit in order to do that. And that just points out that this project is far more than about way up north in northern Coos County. It's about the entire landscape. And what we're trying to do is stop them up north in order to protect the White Mountain National Forest. From that. That's really a national resource, the White Mountains, and
sure.
It deserves to be protected. As my colleague Will Abbott was mentioning in the intro you played, that was not protected in order to be a conduit. First, to be a host for commercial development. We wouldn't allow another private entity to build something.
We wouldn't put a Walmart in there.
That's right. And so we shouldn't allow a private commercial transmission line to do the same thing. And they need that special use permit. And without it, they don't have a route. Really, even if they announced a route without that special use permit through the White Mountain National Forest, they wouldn't have it. So they still have a long way to go in terms of a presidential permit, special use permit to get through the White Mountain National Forest. And then they still have the site evaluation committee.
Well, how do they even cross the Connecticut River?
Well, you bring up a good point. I think what you're referring to is that we own a stretch of land, our Washburn Family Forest, that really walls off their projected entry point from Canada into New Hampshire. And without being able to get there, they really can't use any of the land that they've acquired up to this point. And so we've got that block. And as I said, all of this is about boxing them in up there, mm-hmm. finding different places. We can't go out and buy everything or protect everything. However, we can be strategic. We can understand where they're trying to get through. And our concern is really to make sure that that block is permanent, that it's not just Northern Pass.
Well, exactly.
Now that they have acquired in fee $25 million of land up there, we want to make sure that in 20 years, they don't come back and propose again an overhead high-voltage DC transmission line. Or, given that they own it in fee, that they not just propose one, but propose two or three or four. And we're already seeing how existing distribution lines suddenly
they
power
grow
company,
babies.
Yes, right. Transmission company sees dollar signs for themselves. To host in this case what they're proposing is really a third party private transmission line.
Yeah, or the land that they bought could even be transferred to some other kind of pipeline that people may not want going through their land too. So again, there's many useful purposes with the conservation easements that the Forest Society has been working on with the local landowners in Upper Coos County.
Well, that Green Acres, 530 acre Green Acres conservation easement that we closed a couple of weeks ago, provides for public access. It's one of the main reasons we've been interested in it. And quite frankly, we've been interested in that particular parcel before Northern Pass entered the picture. And partly that's because of some fabulous wildlife habitat up there. This, if you've ever been up there, it's up in Stewartstown, and it's at the crest of a hill, and it's open on top of this hill. And you take a short walk up a logging road and get up there and see literally 340 degrees, not 360. There's about 20 degrees in there.
Okay.
But you could see 360, but you get these extensive views for 340 degrees over towards Canada, Vermont, over towards Maine, down south. It's just astounding. And this is not the place where we need 180-foot towers interrupting that kind of thing. So that conservation easement provides will protect that land permanently for wildlife habitat, for what's working for us, for public recreation, and so forth. And we're very proud of that, and I think we ought to be.
And looking at a neighboring parcel that you've identified, too, for conservation easement, and that's the McAllister Dairy Farm.
Right, Mr. McAllister's Dairy Farm. That's 1,000 acres we're looking at, and there's a very popular snowmobile through trail that goes up there. Matter of fact, the first time I pulled in during the summer into Mr. McAllister's farmyard there, I immediately knew where I was. I said, I've been here. I've been here on the snowmobile.
Yeah.
It was all white when I was here before. It goes right up Mudgett Mountain. Anybody who snowmobiles up north will know that trail and know you climb the hill there to some spectacular views up on the other side. And again, that's right where, up in the area where they intended to put these transmission lines. And I think we've blocked them from doing that. Well, we're going to block them doing that. I should correct myself. Assuming we can raise the other half of that money, we're going to be able to put an easement on his land and stop them from coming through there.
Absolutely. And as well as a couple of other parcels of land as well that you've identified.
Right. Yeah. Those are Lynn Placey's pieces. that also interrupt their intended route, do so very strategically. But we closed on some additional donated conservation easements up along Route 145 a few weeks ago as well that interrupt their intended route, forcing them to look at other ways. That's the other thing that's slowing them down. And as they get forced to look at other ways, we continue to talk to other landowners and as I said, box them in.
I know a lot of other landowners have approached you too.
They have.
You know, looking at this. So, but again, resources are not unlimited for the Forest Society. So
that's
why we need the help of our listeners.
I do. And I think what when you see their announcement, I think they're acknowledging that they have failed to convince anyone that this is a good idea, and especially up in that part of the state. And you could read their announcement to say, look, we recognize that we can't get through there, and so we're going to have to go and convince people that we have a good deal to offer. And if that's what they're relying on, I'm very confident that they won't get through.
Absolutely. Well, again, forestsociety.org is the website. People can get all that information on the Forest Society's effort. I've got the links directly to the Trees Not Tower campaign plastered all over my own website,
well,
too.
Well, we appreciate that. I know one of the best resources, if you're interested in what's been going on with Northern Pass over the last 2 years, is your website, Brian. It's great. One of the most comprehensive places you can go on the web to find links to whether it's to the DOE or to the SB 361 documentation or what have you. We have some of that stuff too on our blog and our website, but you've done a masterful job pulling all that together.
Yeah, well, thank you. There's a lot of people all over this state from the top to the bottom that are working on
this. Well, that's a good point. You know, this campaign, we have gotten donations from almost 200 people in almost 200 towns in New Hampshire, right?
So that's almost every town.
Exactly. There's only 234 towns in New Hampshire. So imagine we have gotten donations to protect property in Stewartstown from almost 200 towns in New Hampshire. To me, that says that this is a statewide issue. The state of New Hampshire is saying we don't want it done this way. We've gotten donations from about 30 different states around the country. There's only 50 states. I mean, people love New Hampshire, and they love it for what it is, and they don't want it to look like New Jersey. And so they're willing to reach in their pocket and give a little money to make that happen.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, Jack Savage, thank you very much, and keep us posted.
Thank you very much, Brian.
All right. Bulldog Live continues. We'll be going back, looking over that fiscal cliff again and seeing what that deal was in Congress. Diana Furcott-Roth, RealClearMarkets.com. Next, you're on Bulldog Live on the Pulse.